if we got fresh snowfall, we could count on the fact that we would not see them at school, because they would either be, you know, running laps at Cannonsburg, or they would get in the car and they would drive up to Boyne or Cab Rafay. They were going to be snowboarding somewhere. And as an educator, I frowned on that, but as somebody who enjoys the pastime as well, I understood that.
Right.
So the challenge was, how do we bring that experience into the classroom?
This is Transforming Learning. In the TL podcast, we share conversations with teachers about classroom strategies that elevate teaching and learning. If you hear a helpful idea, let us know by sharing the episode or leaving a review on iTunes. We are at CBD Consulting on social media. And don't hesitate to connect with us directly or browse our other resources at cbdconsulting.com/elevateedu. From everyone here at Communications by Design, we hope you enjoy. Well, let's all agree for a moment that some students are more interested in school than others. And let's also agree that efforts to make students more interested in school are often not very effective. The alternative, then, is to find out what is interesting to those students and make school more like that. I'm Zach Ripley, and for episode 52, I talk with Bill Curtis, one of the co-founders of Gone Boarding, a cross-curricular experience designed in collaboration with students to create something that does exactly that. In this episode, you're going to hear Bill talk about how the program began and what it has become since its initial founding several years ago. But you're also going to hear Bill talk about education and his own efforts to motivate, inspire, and support students, to help students learn and grow. So let me give you Bill Curtis. Zach Ripley. I'm here with Bill Curtis from Forest Hills Public Schools and specifically the Gone Boarding program. So Bill, if you would be willing to just share with us, for our listeners, what is Gone Boarding and how did that begin?
Yeah, thanks, Zach. I'm excited to be here with you today. So Gone Boarding is a project-based, cross-curricular, experiential-based, service-based curriculum that we developed with student input as a direct component of how we organize the framework of the class. So it started, I would say, conceptually started in around 2010. What I saw was an epidemic in my high school, which was the epidemic of just student disengagement. And I teach in a school where I would say, relatively speaking, engagement levels are much higher than some other places.
Sure.
Our community really values education. You know, the parents, the community is involved in education, and we were still seeing this. So personally, I had to either figure out a way to change that in some way or get out and do something else. The imagery that I tell people is I feel like kids were coming into the school or my class, punching a time clock, doing their time, so to speak, and then punching out.
Yep.
That wasn't working for anybody. It wasn't working for the kids. It wasn't working for me. So we started asking kids, myself and my original partner, Bruce McCartney, who was teaching industrial arts at the time. I was teaching phys ed at the time. He and I started coming together and asking kids, well, how can we make school better for you? How can we make this a place that as a 17 and 18-year-old, you can wake up in the morning and be excited about getting here? So, I mean, I tell everybody, I would like to take full credit for the idea, but it's really a student-generated idea. So kids started throwing out ideas, and I think that part of our initial motivation was we had a small group of students that during the winter if we got fresh snowfall, we could count on the fact that we would not see them at school, because they would either be, you know, running laps at Cannonsburg, or they would get in the car and they would drive up to Boyne or Cabre Fay. They were going to be snowboarding somewhere. And as an educator, I frowned on that, but as somebody who enjoys the pastime as well, I understood that.
Right.
So the challenge was, how do we bring that experience into the classroom so that kids are not skipping school to go and do the things they're passionate about, but they actually get to do the things they're passionate about within the school setting. So that's kind of the long story of how it started. Again, I said that was probably 2010, and we enlisted a few students to kind of come to the table with us and help develop the initial thought processes. And what was cool about that is those kids, those were juniors and seniors at the time. They knew that they would not directly benefit from this, you know, so they're going to be graduated, they're going to be gone. But they still wanted to have some input into, I think, bettering the educational experience for those kids that were younger than them, that were kind of following in their footsteps.
That's incredible. Quite profound that they were willing to invest themselves.
Yeah. And these were not the A-type students. These were kids that realized the system doesn't work for a lot of kids. So how can they make that experience more beneficial for those kids that are actually coming up and going to be going through what they went through? And we may get into this later, but one of the things, so I've been in education for 15 years, and I don't like to categorize kids, but I think, and this is an oversimplification, but I think from what I've seen, if you have to fit kids, if we have to say let's say there's two groups of students, I would say there are the conformers, which is the category that for sure I fell into as a student. I was a people pleaser. I didn't care whether I had to know this later on in life or not. If a teacher was up at a whiteboard and was writing notes, I was going to learn that because I wanted to do well on the test, not really giving any consideration of what is this going to do to better me as a person. And then we have the nonconformers, which I think are the kids that figure out earlier than the rest of us, like, some of this stuff doesn't apply to me. And why am I sitting here wasting my time learning something that is going to do nothing for me when I could be out doing something that I really enjoy doing that may do something for me? Those nonconformers get different names, I think, in the school, and it manifests itself in different ways. Some kids will just sit there and be disengaged. Other kids will act out, whether it's discipline-wise or truancy, not showing up. So again, those nonconformers, I think there's a bunch of different subgroups in there. But my opinion and what I've seen is those nonconformers many times are going to be the people that end up creating real change, because they are okay not fitting into a system. They're really good at thinking out of the box and creating new ways to do things. And if we can grab those kids and channel that, I think that that's why we started Gomboarding, was to grab those nonconformers, figure out how do we channel their creative passions, because they're definitely there, and give them a reason to come to school, and then ultimately empower them to go out beyond their experience with us, whether that's, you know, higher education or whether that's career path. We want to give them, you know, some of the tools and empower them to go and do that. So I think one of the unique things is, again, we created the program for the nonconformers, but we get students of all types. And it's really cool to see those interactions take place.
No doubt.
Because you give the nonconformers a place to really shine and feel at home, and they end up becoming leaders and mentors to the conformer type kids who are used to being the leaders and the mentors in the school. You know, the AP kids, the honor roll kids, the kids who are the lead in the school play, the captain of the football team, the captain of the volleyball team. Now all of a sudden they're relying on the skater kid, the snowboard kid, to help them out a little bit. And that's a cool shift in dynamics to see happen in a school for both groups, really.
Absolutely. Education isn't about creating a certain kind of person and everyone fits that mold. Our society would not thrive well on that. You've articulated quite a bit of what makes the experience different and such. And so I'm curious then, what are the specifics behind the program? What does that actually look like in its current implementation? If you were to talk to a teacher who says, I want to try this or I want to do this in complete fidelity, what are the parts and pieces and what does that look like over the course of the year?
Yeah, so to dive into a little bit more of the details of what Gomboarding is, I mentioned it's project-based, it's cross-curricular. It started as a cross-curricular with phys ed and industrial tech. So again, me being the phys ed instructor, my partner Bruce being the industrial tech instructor, we wanted to combine the designing and building of boards with the actual implementation of getting out and riding them as the phys ed component. So our kids, and it's, so we're in 11 different schools now, and it's run a little bit different in each school, but the basis of it is kids do just that. They go through the process of designing different boards. So we're talking skateboards, snowboards, surfboards, wakeboards, paddleboards, wake surfers. What I tell people is basically any type of non-motorized rideable board, our kids are, they're designing and building those. So they go through that process, and the different types of board all have different processes that are involved with them. And then the way we're running it in Forest Hills is, so concurrently as those kids are designing and building, we have our own fleet of boards. So we get kids out there. Typically, let's take a fall semester. We'll get kids out as they're starting to do the design process on their surfboards. We're getting them out to Grand Haven and they're actually catching waves. The idea behind that is we want them to start thinking a little bit about board design, a little bit about hydrodynamics, you know, how is water flowing over my board? How can I shape the board to achieve the same feel? I say that's ideal. I think usually when kids are out there catching waves, they're just stoked to be up there riding on water, because that's that literally it's the feeling of walking on water. And most of these kids haven't done it before. And then we'll do the same thing with snowboards. You know, we want to get them out there. We've here locally, we've got a great relationship with Cannonsburg.
Awesome.
So our kids get up there, they start riding, start thinking about design. What can they do to achieve the feel that they want? And the same thing with a skateboard, you know, which is, I would say the skateboard is kind of the low hanging fruit. Skateboard can be done much quicker. Hmm. So a lot of times we'll have kids that will do two or three boards because they design and build one and it's not quite what they want. So they go back to the drawing board and they'll make some iterations, some tweaks, and they'll do another one. So yeah, that's kind of that's the framework. So our students in Forest Hills they're getting a phys ed credit, obviously, for all of the riding that we do. They get what in Michigan is called a VPAA, Visual Performing and Applied Arts credit. Those are both required credits for them to graduate. And then kids also get a math-related credit as well. And again, going back to the original intent of a program like this is we want to catch those kids that, you know, maybe a little bit disengaged. So the majority of our kids are seniors, and they can take Gomboarding and get that senior math credit. And to be honest with you, I think that a lot of those kids they're tapped out of book math. It doesn't make much sense to them, and frankly, they're not going to use it.
Right.
And they get into Gomboarding, and math make sense again for them. And they realize, okay, if I don't get this measurement right, my board's not going to be right. So the stakes are much higher than just taking a pencil and paper test. These kids are totally vested into the outcome, which is their finished product, which is a board.
Yeah. Even just that phrase, as you said it, the stakes are so much higher.
Right.
And that's not stakes that are put on them. It's they have adapted.
100%. You know, that is self-imposed. Do they get a grade for our class? Of course they do. That's, you know, we're bound by that system. So they will get a grade, but very rarely, if ever, have I heard a student say, you know, what am I going to get on this? What's my grade on this? They are much more concerned about A, either how it's going to ride, or B, with a lot of kids, how that's going to look mounted to my wall.
Yeah.
Because they've already got the idea of where it's going to go. So yeah, we don't create the stakes. I think the stakes are created by the kids.
No. How do external factors now play into that outside of your school and your district? You have some partners. I know I saw like Burton and Vans. There are a few there.
Yep.
Is that necessary? And if it is, what role does that play?
For us, they are necessary because they have allowed us to go so far beyond what the original vision was. I don't think we could have done that without the help and some of the vision of those partners. To just implement something different, as we spoke about, I don't know that you have to have outside industry partners. I think it helps. I think that one of the biggest factors for us is in having these relationships with some of these, you know, very iconic global brands, our kids can see a true connection to what it is they're doing in the classroom. Mm-hmm. I think that students need to see relevance in order to really have true engagement. And I've heard some of our students articulate this, that they came into Gone Boarding thinking that what these different things were just hobbies for them. And they came out of Gone Boarding realizing that their hobbies and passion could become their career. I don't know that we can totally paint that picture without the help of those industry partners. We can tell kids that, but kids get to see that. We take kids every year to Burton headquarters in Vermont. They get a fully, you know, hands-on look behind the curtain there for 2 days as to what it takes to run the world's largest snowboard company. Burton's been really gracious in that and really giving the kids an experience that most people can't get.
Right.
So kids come away from that, and, you know, it may not be specifically designing snowboards, but it might be industrial design in general. Like, wow, that's really cool to be able to design these everyday products. There's a rocking chair right there. How could I make that a more functional, more comfortable rocking chair? That's industrial design. You know, you mentioned Vans. So we've had the opportunity the last few years to take kids out to California to go to our Vans headquarters. I mean, Vans is arguably the coolest name in action sports that transcends all of those sports.
Yeah.
You know, so for kids to kind of meet with those marketing people and ask them questions, how do you maintain that level of having the cool factor? How do you stay relevant? The same thing with Hurley. So we've got a great relationship with Hurley. You know, Hurley is kind of specific to, you know, the water, surf, but the people out there are awesome. You know, they've taken our kids in and, you know, almost been in a setting like this where we're just sitting around a comfy table with some chairs, picking their brain. You know, what kids get to do that?
Right.
You know, that's, again, kind of getting into what the dream may be with marketing and entrepreneurship. Those aren't experiences that you can take from a textbook. the latest couple companies that we've gotten to meet with are GoPro, which, you know, again, talking about transcending action sports in terms of capturing content, you know, GoPro is, I mean, they are the gold standard. So a month ago, I had the opportunity to take 13 students out there and meet with their marketing people and go into some of their editing bays and look at some of the latest products. And
wow.
Again, kids, their minds are blown and they're awakened to possibilities that are out there. Because I think without that, it's kind of a pipe dream, you know. But they get to talk to real people, develop real relationships, and realize these are actual jobs that are available. I guess that's a long answer. For us, these industry partners are they're integral to what we're doing. To start something from the ground up, just to go back a little bit, we had none of that when we started. We had a concept, we had an idea, we had supportive administration that said, we're going to figure out how to get through these obstacles. But at the time, we didn't have Burton, we didn't have Hurley, we didn't have Vans. Now, I'd be lying if I said that wasn't in my long-range vision. I definitely wanted to go there. But with just a concept, that's tough to do. And I would say that the kids are the biggest factor in that. If me as an educator is going to approach one of these brands by myself and say, here's an idea that I have, I don't think that I would get the same response as when I'm bringing passionate kids into a place. And they're just, I mean, they're just super excited about what's going on.
Yeah.
Because that's the future. You know, I'm not the future. Those kids are the future. And people get excited about that.
Mm-hmm. If you had no limits put on you, what would be different than what you are doing currently, or what else would you want to see or do in this experience?
What you just asked me is basically what I've been dreaming about since we started, which has continued to evolve. But my ultimate goal and dream would be to create an all-day experience for Gomboarding. And we've talked about this. There's many challenges. You know, you've got scheduling in the day, you've got staffing, you've got, you know, just the finances of everything. But I believe that we could create an experience for students that they would essentially be able to achieve all of the required courses that they need throughout the day through Gomboarding. I mentioned right now we have math, we have phys ed, we have arts. We have kids that get really into broadcast through this experience. So we have kids that will go out and they'll take GoPro cameras and film everything that we do, come back and they'll put together a little edit. We've had students that have been published for writings that they've done for Gomboarding. So you talk about, you know, that ELA component and creative writing, communications. I get opportunities, as I said earlier, with different media outlets or other schools to talk about the experience. And quite often I will allow students to do that. So you talk about a potential communications piece. There's so much science. You know, science it's an easy one. Talk about material sciences, you can talk about hydrodynamics. So there's lots of different science components that could be brought in. Entrepreneurship, business, and marketing is another one, especially as a program we expand. I would love to get students involved in that as well. So that would be the ultimate dream if there were no constraints put on me, if we had the ideal facility, if we had the staffing to run all that, and, you know, ultimately the finances to do it. I think that we could almost become a magnet for kids that truly want a different experience.
Yeah, well, and that's wonderful. It's It's certainly not something that you see in any complete capacity.
Right. And that, you know, to expand on that a little bit, I think the goal is to go from a course-based system to a standards-based system. So if I can learn science through this and I'm actually doing science, kids should be able to receive credit for that, as opposed to just learning about science in a book or, you know, the creative writing or reading piece. And I think that, you know, in that type of a system, really each day would look different. So, you know, if there's 6 hours in the day, instead of going through six different completely unrelated subjects, you may have a day where all you're doing is designing and shaping a surfboard. That's 6 hours. And trust me, you could take many days of doing that.
I trust you.
but that's science. That's math. You know, you could spend a day just telling story through film and editing video and audio. So it's, I mean, I would say it, again, in the ideal scenario, it really mimics more of the workplace as opposed to the school system that we've all grown up in.
Absolutely. And I think what you're articulating there, Bill, is that it's not a shift in the perspective of how I teach my class. It's a shift in the perspective of how the system equips students for whatever, you know, what's next.
Yeah.
And that is a very significantly different thing, but it's not far removed from, like you've said, it's similar to what you're doing already. It's just scaling it up a notch.
Right.
Taking the idea to any potential content curriculum or standards. You mentioned earlier when we were just chatting that you're wearing many different hats now, and that's probably continued to evolve. How has your role changed from when you were just, and I say just, but from when you were pre-gone boarding in the classroom, you were a phys ed teacher. Mm-hmm. How is your role different now?
So I would say that, but in any type of a project-based learning environment, you have to get to the point where you release some of the control to the students. You know, you go from being the keeper of the knowledge to the facilitator in finding new knowledge, because that's ultimately what you want from the students, is for them to go out and learn by doing. So I think for many people that's uncomfortable. For me, it wasn't uncomfortable, because in those beginning days of gone boarding, I didn't know anything. You know, basically as we were starting, we were teaching ourselves how to do all of this stuff. And that goes not just from the designing and the building, but I didn't start snowboarding until 2009 or 10.
Really?
I hadn't been on a skateboard at all since I was a little kid, and I was terrible as a little kid. You know, I started surfing in 2009 or 10. I just started wakeboarding 2 or 3 years ago. So it was easy for me to release that control, because I wouldn't have considered myself a subject area expert, so to speak. In terms of where we're at now, so my heart is in the trenches with the kids. That's where I love to be. I think that that's where I draw my inspiration from, is being able to see the engagement and the inspiration and the empowerment of the students, to kind of, you know, again, release the control of the classroom, and watch and facilitate that magic happening. I love watching kids make mistakes. You know, that may sound a little weird, but that's where the learning takes place. Because quite frankly, they're the same mistakes that I made when I was learning this stuff. And it helped me progress. That's where my heart is. And I still am in the classroom at all three Forest Hills schools. I still get to teach gone boarding. But I also am running the expansion of the program. So that, in terms of the logistics of that, that's been a huge learning process for me as to what it takes to actually be able to package a concept, market it, and sell it to another school, so that in essence it's turnkey for them. That's what the goal is, because it definitely was not turnkey for us. We had to create it from the ground up. Mm-hmm. Again, thankfully we had administrators that supported that, but we don't want other schools to have to go through that long, arduous process of figuring out how we do this. If this thing is going to grow, again, going back to the fact that most educators don't have time and space, we need to bring them a model that they can just plug and play.
Yeah.
So my passion is with the kids. I would say probably the bulk of my time is spent outside of that passion, because I am trying to, you know, spread the awareness and promote what we're doing, because I want to see more kids impacted by this. And that's, again, a little bit out of my comfort zone, but that's kind of what I feel called and led to do right now. So as we've expanded, you know, we started at one school in Forest Hills, moved to the other two. So we're now, including those three in Forest Hills, we're now on 11 schools, which is super exciting. We have, most of the schools are in Michigan. We do have a school in Indiana, and we, as of this fall, we'll have a school out in California.
No kidding.
So yeah, the ultimate goal of Gone Boarding is we would like to create a brand that really spreads coast to coast. And again, that's, we're doing it through boards. You know, I think that there's definitely room out there for other people to come in and kind of take the concept and say, well, we can do this with English and history and, something that can spread. You know, I think that we need it. I think that our world is changing in a sense that, you know, the way that we've educated kids for 125 years, and I don't know of any educators that would disagree with this, we're doing them a disservice. We're killing creativity. So yeah, the ultimate goal is to bring some form of Gone Boarding to schools all across the nation, because we want kids excited about learning. Learning should be exciting.
Yeah.
Right. When I learn something new, even at my age, I'm like, wow, that's really cool. I didn't know that before. We've lost that, and we've killed that innate desire in kids to actually learn and discover.
Absolutely. So how can, you know, someone's hearing us talk about this right now and says, I want to do that too, or I want to learn more about it at least.
Yeah. Yeah. So right now that's me. I'm the person to contact. And that's, again, that's where I spend the bulk of my time right now, is in trying to spread awareness, trying to actually market what we're doing. You know, fielding phone calls, going out and making site visits to schools. One of the biggest challenges that I've incurred is every school system is different. And when I say every, I mean everyone is a little bit different. There are no two school systems that work exactly the same. So a lot of times the challenge for me is, who do I need to talk to within that system? Sometimes it's a really passionate teacher, which quite honestly is the best route. Sometimes it's a principal. Sometimes it's a curriculum director. Sometimes it's a superintendent. Sometimes it's a school board member that gets wind of what we're doing, and they say, we got to have this in our school.
Yeah.
And then when you find that person, there's usually, in every school, there's, you know, there's, it's like an onion. There's different layers as you peel it back. So you've got to talk to the curriculum director and the principal and, you know, going through all those people again, the finance person, because obviously there's a cost involved in bringing any curriculum into a school. So yeah, that's a challenge for me. It's a challenge that I embrace. I mean, I've gotten to meet a lot of really cool people in education through the process. And I've learned a ton from that as well, you know, as to, again, there's many different ways of getting to an end goal. Every school is doing it a little bit differently. You know, it's not all good. It's not all bad. It's just, it's different.
Sure.
So yeah, if any schools that are interested, that would be me to contact. You know, we have a website that is, and another thing I should mention is virtually everything that we put out there is student produced and created. So we have a website that was produced and created exclusively by students. You know, we have different, all of our schools have different social media accounts that they run for Gone Boarding. So again, that's, we try to put that on the kids for them to have some of that experience.
Definitely. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So how does someone contact you?
So there's a few different ways to do it. Probably the easiest way is just through email. My email is bcurtis@goneboardingedu.com. Phone is obviously another way. My phone number is 616-706-7279. If you want to get a little taste, just kind of looking from the outside without making any type of a commitment, we do have a Facebook page. This is just, it's Gone Boarding. You can Google Gone Boarding and you will find lots of videos on YouTube and Vimeo and articles that different media outlets have produced. But those would be the main ways. We run an Instagram account, which when I tell people if they want to get kind of a snapshot of what's going on, they can kind of check out the pictures and videos that we post on Instagram. And that the Instagram is @_goneboarding. And then, like I said, each of the schools runs their own account. And I would assume if you just searched in Instagram Gone Boarding, most of those would come up.
Awesome.
But yeah, I'm stoked, super excited to have those conversations with anybody that wants to have them. That's the ultimate goal. And one of the things I should mention, so the package or the curriculum that we've been talking about today, that's the way that we run things in Forest Hills. So I mentioned before that every school kind of runs it a little bit differently. If you're out there listening and you're thinking that this is something that you're interested in, but it might have to look a little different in your school, we completely customize any package. So, you know, if you're somewhere that surfing is completely irrelevant because you don't have a large body of water, you know, we have a couple schools like that, and instead of doing surfboards, they're doing paddle boards, or they're doing wakeboards, or they're doing wake surfers because there may be lakes nearby. If you're in an area that snow is irrelevant, you know, let's say Florida, obviously we're not bringing in snowboards. So again, it's more the surfboards, the paddle boards, skateboards are really relevant anywhere.
Yeah.
And then wakeboards or wake surfers. So what we've tried to do as we created kind of a scalable model that could go out is realize that based on geography and some other things, schools are going to have different needs. So we really have packages that I believe can fit and work anywhere. And not all the packages include the kind of formal phys ed component either. Many of our schools just do the designing in the building. So that's usually the entry level. You know, let's get these kids designing and building boards, and with the hope that eventually, whether it's formal or informal, you'll be able to get those kids out, get them riding, because a lot of times that's when the light bulb comes on.
Yeah, well, that's why they're passionate about
right.
it, because they love to do it.
Right.
Well, really appreciate your time today, Bill, and certainly the work that you are doing and that you have done now these several years. Really hope that it can continue to grow.
Yeah, it's been fun, Zach. I've enjoyed talking to you, and like I said, I wish I could take full credit for it, but I can't. You know, this was derived and developed with students at the center of it. I would not have been able to come up with it myself. So,
and I would wager that's a large part of why it can be successful.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Awesome. Well, thanks again.
Thanks for listening to Transforming Learning by CBD. Continue the conversation with us by visiting cbdconsulting.com/elevateedu, where you can contact our team to help brainstorm, plan, reflect, or troubleshoot your ideas and strategies.
For more podcast episodes, visit anchor.fm/CBD podcast or subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app. Help us get the word out by leaving a review and rating on your podcast app, as well as sharing on your favorite social media platform. Tag @CBD Consulting and we'll be sure to respond.